And we need you to speak into the mic. All Americans speak into the mic. Steve Clemens.
I can't count that high. I'm from Texas. We don't do math down there.
Great to have you here in studio. Your little boy's running around here. What's his name?
That's Ethan. He's my 10-year-old.
How many kids you got, Steve?
Four. He's number three of four.
Number three. And are there any other quarterbacks in the making?
He might very well be one. Ethan. He wants to play receiver because his dad played quarterback. And
he doesn't want
to.
He doesn't
wants me to throw to him.
Ah.
And my little six-year-old, he might be the quarterback. Although he's big into soccer.
Does he have an arm, though? The one that's playing, that wants to be a receiver. How's his arm?
He can chunk it.
See, that's the thing. He's going to learn real quick.
He can chunk it. Girls can throw it, too.
That's good, too.
Hey, these Powder Puff leagues are getting real popular. Even some tackle football leagues for the ladies. The Utah Falcons, they were, like, undefeated last year. I don't know if you've heard of the Utah Falcons. They're like a semi-pro women's league. They tear it up. They're physical, too, man. So, Steve Clemens on with us here, Cougar Sports ESPN 960. He's in studio. He has blessed us with his presence. He's also not only is a former quarterback at BYU, but also the head coach out at Westlake. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. You've been coaching for a while, Steve, after BYU. Tell us a little bit about what you've done. You graduated around 95, I think. What did you do after BYU?
After I graduated, I joined the CFL, San Antonio Texans of the CFL, back when they had teams south of the border.
Mm-hmm.
Was there just on the practice squad for about half a year. Got cut. Like, this is not for me. I mean, I didn't play very much at the Y. Had a great experience, but didn't play
very much. You were starting until you got injured versus Hawaii. You separated your shoulder. We'll talk a little bit about that later on.
I'm sure we will. but so I got down there and I started my teaching career. My mom and dad were lifetime educators. And it just became natural for me to kind of get into that realm of a profession. And I graduated BYU with a special ed degree. My sister, who is now 41 years old, special needs. So I was around it all my life. So I got into that kind of aspect of teaching. But after I was there for about a year and moved to St. George with my wife, got a phone call from another former Cougar, Eric Dredge, who played receiver here for a long time. And he was coaching at Lehigh for a guy by the name of Chad Wilson, who was the head coach. And so I came up in 97, was my first year at Lehigh as an assistant. I coached the JV, and I was the quarterback's coach on the varsity team. The very next year, Coach Wilson got in administration, got out of teaching. And basically the district said, well, you can't do both. You can either be a head coach and teach or get in administration and not coach anymore. So we chose to not coach anymore, get in administration. Dredge went into private business. The defensive coordinator didn't want it. So here I'm 27 years old. I got 1 year experience, and all of a sudden I'm a head coach at a
It's not easy.
No, it's not.
No, it's not easy.
Wait, what year was that?
That was 98. 98 was my first year.
As a head coach.
As a head coach.
27
How long were you there?
I was there 4 years.
Okay. I played against you as a head coach.
Y'all were the team that...
Oh, we were terrible.
but you know what? That 1 year, I believe it was 99, we beat y'all by 7. And we were pretty decent that year. And I had told them the week prior, because this was back when...
we weren't bad that year. The next year was our only good season I ever had down at Carbon High.
Did you tell him to take out Jan's legs? Try to injure him?
No,
kneecaps?
No. Well, back then, the deer hunt was a big deal. Still is.
It is.
And, you know, you go pitch your tents on Friday nights before Saturday hunt. And I told him the week, y'all play well, then you're off.
You guys get to go.
See ya. Because we had Saturday morning practice every Saturday. And they laid an egg. I mean, we still won, but they didn't play very well. But they didn't end up getting that Friday night or Saturday morning practice off. And I remember, because y'all played us tough, man.
Jan played you tough. He was the MVP of that squad.
I was a freshman on that team.
Really?
I was a defensive end, freshman defensive end of that team.
I thought you were a quarterback, too.
That was later, my junior and my senior year.
So you were at Lehigh for 4 years, and then is that when you went back to Texas?
There for 4 years. No, I got into – I did mortgages. I did some credit repair. I've always done my quarterback training on the side. But in 2006, we moved to the Fort Worth area, Dallas-Fort Worth area. And there I coached. I was an assistant coach for 2 years at Haltom High School and then Dallas Hillcrest, kind of inner city Dallas. And then the last 5 years before coming up here 2 years ago, I got out of coaching. I was teaching. I was home at 4 o'clock.
Nice.
And, man, it was nice.
Got your summers off.
Got my summer.
You don't have to worry about summer workouts your guys are doing.
And it was at Euless Trinity High School where I taught for 5 years. Just Trinity. Special ed teacher.
Yeah.
And they're kind of known a little bit for their football.
Yeah, team. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so people would ask me, well, dude, you're nuts. You're at Euless Trinity High School and you're not coaching? No, I'm not coaching. And it was fun. I was around the team, Coach Lion Weaver.
Did they ever come to you and say, hey, do you want to coach?
You know, there was 1 year. No, Coach Lionel was really good because he actually coached me in the All-Star game down in Texas in 1990 when I graduated.
When you were an All-American.
High school.
Parade All-American, by the way.
My mom called you, didn't she?
No, man, we know this.
Man, you're – yeah.
We do our research around here.
See, they – so when I got to the school, I said, look, I don't want to coach. And coach was real respectful. But there was a year they went to the state championship game, and one of their assistants couldn't finish the year, kind of got in some trouble with a student on campus. And so said, hey, do you want to finish, coach receiver? Oh, yeah, I'd love to. So Cowboy Stadium, playoffs in Texas. It's the predominant religion down there. And so that was fun.
Did that kind of give you a little bit of a taste of it? Was that a catalyst for you to explore coaching again?
You know, it was. It really was. Because I'd been out for 4 years at that time when they said, hey, come help. And I remember getting a call from Westlake saying, hey, there was a job opening, head football coach. Are you interested? And I remember standing outside in the hallway of my classroom calling my wife. And I said, look, they've called me. Westlake's offering this job to me, be a head football coach and move back up there. And it's a big deal. And she says, do it. I already can tell. I guess I was – I sounded like a little 8-year-old on Christmas.
Yeah.
Because she goes, I can see right through you. I can hear it in your voice that you want to do it. You know, so that's – you know, that kind of led us back up here, 2 years ago now.
Now, you've been at Westlake for 2 years, and look, the program, I think, has improved every single year. And something that I've noticed is just the talent is improving there. You're developing that talent. Right now, you have Chaz Ayu, you have Gabe Summers, and you mentioned a few other guys, and I'm not familiar with, but there might be two or three other guys that are Division I athletes coming out of Westlake.
I think this next year we should have probably 3 or 4 D1 guys. Dallin Peely would be one. Noah Karen would be another one. Those have just recently moved in, actually, from out of town. It's shaping up to have an improved team. I just hope I don't screw it up.
Chaz is going to play quarterback again? Or what's going to happen there?
You know what? We don't know yet.
Okay. It's a tough decision.
Right now he's being recruited to be a safety, maybe a receiver at the next level. But me being a quarterback, I kind of want to see what he can do with a full year under his belt, you know, and see.
Nice to have the best athlete on your team with the rock in his hand, too.
It really helps things, except I coddle those guys a little bit. And so if his natural position is safety, then he may not play as much. Well, but that's where he's going to be needed.
You're going to win more football
both
games. Well,
that's what high school's all about.
This is my opinion, you can take it with a grain of salt.
I've changed my mentality on that a little bit. I've had to.
Yeah, well, you got to, you know, you talk about coddling. I don't think it's coddling. I think it's protecting. But I think, you know, if you have a dynamic athlete like that, you put him at quarterback. This is my opinion. You, like I said, you can disagree with me. And when it comes down to closer games when you need them, at that safety spot to roam and to maybe make a play in a critical situation. You train him enough to, you know, that he knows coverages, but he's a freelancer out there. He's an athlete. You put him back there, you do man free, and he will make plays. And that, you know, that's all you really need, right? You don't need him out there every single game playing safety. But right now, talk to me about his recruitment. How many offers does he have?
I believe he's up to 6 right now. He's got Oregon State, Washington, all the Utah schools, and Oklahoma State.
Any chance BYU gets Chaz right now? Is it a heated battle, or is he kind of leaning away from in-state?
You know, the kid's just turned 16, so you know, it's crazy. He barely got his driver's license. Yeah. So I mean, who knows? That's 2 years away.
What does Daddy want though?
The kid just turned 16. We're asking him to make the most important decision of his life.
What does Jason want? Is the question. What does Daddy want?
Mom and Dad want to send him across the lake.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. Everyone likes to hear that.
But you know, I think the good thing about Chaz and all of these other kids is they're so stinking humble. I mean, they come from good families, so they don't thump their chest. He's a good kid. He's a, you know, probably a better kid than he is athlete, and that's saying a lot because he's a great athlete. And what Chaz brings is that kind of humility, that leadership he's kind of grown into. The last 2 years, he started as a freshman. You know, he's had 2 years of varsity experience already. I'm so glad I don't have to coach these kids up as sophomores now. You know, they're not 14 and 15. Yeah. We've now taken the diapers off.
Yep.
And they get it.
They can walk.
And so we're excited for this next season. So
Steve Clements, former BYU quarterback back in the 90s, early 90s, 90 to 94, from Houston, Texas. He was a parade All-American. He was all everything coming out of Texas. And current head coach at Westlake High School, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Love the updates regarding Westlake. I think this is going to be a good football team. You have a couple of transfers coming, hopefully the offensive line will be able to protect whoever you have at quarterback. I think that's always an important thing. The most competitive teams here in the state of Utah seem to have the best offensive lines. The Binghams, the Jordans, even Pleasant Grove last year, American Fork, they have really good offensive lines. You got to be able to compete there. What do you think about the talent level in Texas compared to the state of Utah in high school? Be honest, it's all good.
Well, it's better. I mean, it is. But one of the reasons why it's so much better is that there's so many schools and so many kids, and competition breeds success. Well,
and facilities and money breeds success.
If you've got two or three guys vying for one spot, say a varsity wide receiving spot down there versus maybe one up here, maybe a half. You know, you're trying to find four receivers, you might only have three up here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, down there, you're going to have 6, 7, 8. And so I think that's a big difference. But I don't think the talent, I think per capita, if you really get into the numbers, Utah is not a lot different than Texas. It's a different mentality down there. Yeah, it's a different mentality. Just you eat, drink, and sleep and breathe football down there.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not thinking, you're not thinking about football in the fall, you're thinking about it in the spring. There's two seasons down there. It's fall football and it's spring football. That's it. There's not basketball, there's not baseball, it's not wrestling, there's not tennis, golf, hockey. It's football. That's what it is. Here it's different. There are different things to do. Lacrosse is becoming big. There's rugby, there's, you know, everything, church activities and things like that. So there are more. They're not distractions. They're just more things to do here in Utah probably than there are Texas, where you're going to specialize probably a little bit more down there than you are up here just because of the amount of kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can specialize down there a little bit easier because there's so many kids in baseball, so many kids in football and basketball and other sports that you can lock into football or baseball or basketball, which is not good. I don't believe in specializing, but I think you're a better athlete if you play a multi-sport. Type of deal, but
per capita, you know, you'd say it's comparable, and it's just because they're kind of specializing that they. I mean, there's just a lot more talent down there as far as numbers are concerned. Janimal, you had a question.
Well, I just am curious what as a coach, what do you think is better? what do you like seeing better? Do you like the intense, almost religious following that football
Zealots.
Has down in Texas, or do you like the variety of in Utah? Because just kind of coming, I spent last season, a semblance of balance. Yeah, well, I come from last season coaching and being the head coach at a high school, and I had kids who just drove me crazy because they didn't. I felt like they didn't take football as seriously as they should. Mm-hmm. But then you have the other end of the spectrum where they take it way too serious. Where what part being in both spots? What do you like better?
It would be really nice, and I think that's what I'm trying to do at Westlake is really find a happy medium where I think Texas can be extreme in some cases. You take, for instance, coaching. When I was there 2 years as an assistant, we worked from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. It's during the fall.
Wow.
And from 1 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Sunday.
Wow.
So I'd go to church 11 o'clock, take sacrament. If we didn't have sacrament at 11 o'clock, then I found a church building where I could take sacrament, and then I took off into Dallas or Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And I'd go to and I'd go watch film and prepare for the next week, and it's freaking nuts, man.
Yeah.
And here where it's obviously not as serious, it's kind of marrying the two. And I think we're doing that. Obviously you want kids. I'm a football coach. I'm not a volleyball coach. I'm not the baseball coach. I'm not their ecclesiastical leader. I'm a football coach. Do I want them committed to football? Absolutely, 100%. But at the same time, if we're also trying to teach, look, football is going to last X amount of years, 3, 2, 1, whatever old you are in high school, okay, what's going to take you beyond that? Well, it's going to be structure. It's going to be organization. It's going to be being on things on time, being disciplined, learning that you cannot be late to things. We don't do the Mormon Standard Time. If they're late, they run.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that's a Texas principle. I think that should be
it's a life principle.
It's a life principle, and their education, and we check grades, and we check their attendance, and we do, you know, competition teams that include their GPA and their tardies and absences, because it's not just about football. It's, you know, doing the right thing at the right time in the right place. And that's what we try to preach. And maybe Texas or Utah, you know, and I go back to the talent. Look at Bingham. I mean, they've gone down to Texas. They go to Florida. They
California.
They play these teams outside of the state.
Bishop Gorman.
And they do really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take them and say, okay, can we compete with teams? Absolutely. California, Florida. We just don't have the number of schools, number of players. And we've got probably more things going on in our state than most states. So.
Steve Clements, former BYU quarterback and current head coach at Westlake High School, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Real quick, you went down to the coaches' clinic at Brigham Young University. What'd you think? Was it a good overall meeting? What'd you learn? What do you think about the state of the program as well? So talk about the coaches' clinic, and then also how you feel about it as a former player, but also a former quarterback, and how's the health of the program right now?
I think that, you know, BYU does this every year. They have a coaching clinic. They bring in high school coaches from all over the nation. I think they had 3 or 4 from Texas. And it's really neat because it's one thing to listen to coaches at the college level, and they're coaching 19, 20, 21, BYU could be 24, 25-year-old kids. Well, I'm teaching 16, 17, 15-year-old kids. So there's a little bit of disconnect there because it's – and so they do a really good job bringing in high school coaches. And so you can relate to, you know, the problems, the issues that they have, the schemes, the X's and O's, things like that. So they do a really good job of bringing those coaches in. And they're really there's a lot of knowledge being passed around. And you get to hobnob with guys that you wouldn't know otherwise. And so it was a really nice thing to attend. We had, I believe, 7 or 8 of our coaches went down there and attended. And then, of course, we got to see a couple of practices. You know, I think the number one thing that strikes me, I think the most or struck me the most was the discipline has changed. You know, you're going from, I don't know what the Y was last year in penalties, but it was, what, top five?
Oh,
top
goodness. One? Yeah, they were like that.
Anyway.
So undisciplined.
That's a discipline issue, right? So Winterick, who's now the strength coach, that has changed. And that alone, I think it gets them just by itself. That gets them 4 or 5 wins. Throughout the X's and O's, throughout the Jimmy's and the Joes.
The strength and conditioning coaching change gives them 4 to 5 wins. Is that what you just said?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Because those things, when you're having big plays, but you have a hold, or you're a false start, or you're, I mean, that demoralizes.
Punching people in the back of the head on TV.
Oh. Exactly. And you know, everybody's watching it and going, what are we doing? And as a coach, it's, you have a hard time. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's not like you're teaching that, you know. But I think at the same time, where everything, to me, everything had to be perfect. I remember going to the second practice, talking to Tautu.
Yeah, Cy.
Cy. And I said, what do you think about Winterick? He goes, oh, coach, it's night and day. He said, our first practice, we had 19 periods scheduled, and we got through 7. Because he will not go to the next period until that one's perfect. And it's as little as, you know, the stretching lines being perfect. And when I was there in the second practice, there was 2 walk-ons that screwed up. And he sent them, everybody, all 75, back to the line. They started the calisthenics over again. Those things like that, I think, go a long way. The up-downs, when they're getting penalties during practice, they go over with the strength coaches, and they have to do up-downs. Of course, Caroma, I think, probably leads the nation in up downs. I was there 3 practices, and he was.
What was
he
his
spent
problem?
More time over there than he did in practice, and I kidded him because he's from Texas. So, and I kidded with him. I was like, "Man, you're over here more than you are snapping the ball."
Hey, can you stay for just another second? I know you have to get up to the Jazz game. I want to pick your brain a little bit more about BYU football, the quarterback position, the high flying, high scoring offense that they put up last year, and then also this year with Taysom Hill. So Steve Clements will continue to join us here on Cougar Sports ESPN 960. We'll be back. Yeah, well, we need to get to it. We have a special guest at studio, Steve Clements, former BYU quarterback, also Parade All-American. I don't know if you know this gentleman, but in 1989, he was the Texas High School Player of the Year. Player of the Year. We're sitting next to a Texas All-American Player of the Year. That's how good this guy
That's
was.
That's pretty dang good.
That's freaking awesome.
People don't understand how hard it is
and
to
he's
do
a
that.
Deflector. He's a self-deprecator, so he won't brag. Like, he's got his head down right
even
now.
Even right now, he's got his head down. Yeah. His eyes are closed.
Yeah, he's
blushing.
He's actually ticked off at me that I'm even bringing this up, but I know. I've done my research. Steve Clements, great to have you here. Also, head coach for Westlake High School. You were down at the coach's clinic and you watched practice a few days. You mentioned that you like where the program's at right now. You like some of the changes that you saw. What else did you see at practice? What makes you excited about this year's team?
Well, obviously, Taysom coming back is going to be massive for the program. He was involved as much as he could be. Obviously, nothing, no teamwork, a lot of 7-on-7. You know, even during team, I thought it was pretty cool because he would actually call the play in the huddle. And then Christian would run it, basically, the Stewart kid. So they're hearing his voice, and he was obviously out there and involved and helping, you know, the younger guys and just the camaraderie of the team. Because
chemistry is important, right?
That's what spring is. It's chemistry and discipline. You know, you're going to tweak here and there. It's technique. It's fundamental stuff. It's not, you know, you're not throwing the kitchen sink at all these kids, but you know, it's discipline, it's chemistry. Who's gonna be your leaders, you know, going into the fall? Obviously that's evident. Taysom's, you know, one of the leaders, if not the leader, of this football team. If for no other reason, he's the quarterback and it's BYU. So he has to be. But I think watching him, it seems to me like he's really improved his throwing.
There's just mechanics?
Mechanically, he's more accurate than
prior seasons,
maybe in prior seasons that I saw, and I'm not sitting here.
You're a quarterback's coach. It's all right. Yeah, I know
quarterbacking, but there's been a progression. You can see that, and I think that where in the past it's okay, don't let the kid run, make him throw. Okay, let him throw this year, see what happens. And I think that's where the discussion that y'all had about comparing this to 2006 is legit, because I think now he's a true dual threat quarterback. He's not 60-40, 80-20 run. Now, he's really not good at that, obviously.
He's not a runner that throws now. He does both.
Well, I think he's going to do both.
So.
And with Jamal back there, I mean, seriously, what are you going to stop?
Yeah, you can't.
You know, you've got 6'5", Mitch outside.
Yeah, talk to me about the wide receivers and what type of chemistry did you see with Taysom with those wide receivers, and what can we expect from this group?
Well, I think that's a group because they're a year older now. Mitch is Mitch. I mean, he's a stud. He's the go-to guy. Everybody knows that. But you were talking about the what is it?
Devon Blackman.
Blackman.
Is he a wild card?
That's going to stretch the field. I think he's an X factor. As far as the passing game is concerned, I think because you have to have that guy to stretch the field. I remember, you know, when I was playing, Coach Chow was offensive coordinator at the time. He would basically, the first five plays, we were throwing it deep, and he said, "I don't care if you complete it.
Yeah.
Just throw it as far as you can." Because at least the defense says,
give
oh,
the
crap, I got to back up a little bit. Okay, now we go, we run, we throw the tight end to the fullback and nickel and dime like we did West Coast offense. But you got to have that guy to stretch the field, especially this day and age. That just opens up so much more for Taysom to run around, zone read, power read, that type of thing. And Jamal gets a few more lanes to run in when you have a guy out there. So I think – you know, Blackman or maybe the Dye kids, some of these kids that are coming in, these younger kids that can stretch the field. Your comparison to 06 would be legit.
Yeah, I think so. Last year, I mean, they scored 37 points a game, but that Savannah State game, you know, that kind of skews the numbers somewhat. 2006, they were hovering around 36, 37. This year, I think they're on track to put up even bigger numbers because the offensive line is returning. Now, there's some depth issues. I understand that. Taysom's back. Wide receivers are all back. And there's some question marks with the running backs. Jamal's coming off an ACL surgery. So what else did you see apart from Jamal that would lead you to believe, hey, at least we got a 1-2 punch, or who could you rely on if Jamal isn't ready to go? These first four games, I don't know if you looked at the schedule, Nebraska, Boise State, UCLA, and Michigan, and three of those are away.
That's a good question, because your depth here, because I think if you take the top 11 guys offensively, I think you're going to put them up against offensive line. I still think their offensive line is going to be much improved. But I think you can take that starting 11 and put them up against the top 10, 12 offenses in the nation. I'm not saying that because I went to BYU. Obviously, I've seen practices and see, you know, Taysom has a history. Jamal has a history. But healthy, with those starting 11, I think, you know, you're talking top 5 to top 10 offense. I mean, we're, what, top 20, 26, 27 last year?
Yeah, we were top 26,
with
I think.
Taysom going
yeah.
down.
Yeah, with Taysom
and
going down.
Christian came in and did a great job for what he could do. And so I think that you take those – they have depth issues. There's no question about that. Running back's one. Offensive line is another. Quarterback would be another one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he goes down again. And
do you think they should have offered a JC quarterback or someone to come in and to take those reps in team rather than bring back Christian?
Well, you're asking a lifetime quarterback.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying.
You should have more than, me?
Yeah. Not just a lifetime quarterback, but just an offensive mind in general.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the catalyst of your team. That's what makes any offense go, mm-hmm. whether it's a wishbone or spread.
Yeah.
It's the quarterback.
Have some horses.
And I think that, you know, with missions and all that, with the Mangum kid coming off a mission, I think this Hodge kid from Kentucky, Merrill's boy,
yeah,
is going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see who's backs Taysom up, except they're green. They're getting off. They're both getting off a boat. They're different boats. But they're going to be young, inexperienced, and the depth is an issue. But I'm telling you, if they can stay healthy, then you better look out.
Can any of those guys get ready enough to be able to, you think, fast enough to be an effective quarterback next year? Because odds are, we were talking about this before, odds are they're going to have to come in at some point in time. Maybe not Taysom getting hurt for the entire season. They're probably going to have to come in and spell at some point in time. You think that they can get ready that fast?
I do, because I think the offense is set up as such to a young kid can come up and pick it up here pretty quick with the coaches that they have and the, a nice system. I think it gravitates probably a little bit easier for younger kids. Obviously, he would, you know, scale it down a little bit. But I think the base offense and what he's trying to accomplish offensively, and with veterans on the outside, with a veteran running back and a veteran offensive line, I think it's probably a little bit easier. Now, last year would probably be in a different story. If it was, you know, Christian struggled at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody up front was a little bit, you know, younger, a little bit less experienced. Jamal, of course, until he got hurt. So the backfield's a little, wasn't, you know, crazy experience. But I think that with the experience and with the offense that they run, I think they can come in and do it. I don't know the kids. I don't know their mental capacity. They'd have to get in the playbook when they get on campus in June. Really quick, and you know, study from, and hopefully Taysom will take him under the wing and teach him up like Ty did when I came in as a freshman. I had no clue what I was doing.
Real quick, let's talk about the past as well. Some of the glory days, Steve. You competed with John Walsh. This was a heated battle. I don't know how vivid your memory still is, right? It's hard. We have all three of us have probably had multiple concussions. I take many a supplement that I don't know if they're effective or not, but I take to hopefully retain some of the memories that I have. But go back to those springs when you were going head to head with John Walsh. Was this just a freaking just heated competition? And ultimately, did you feel like you came up, you got the short end of the stick? Norm should have started you instead.
Well, sure, you're asking me.
Yeah, exactly.
You call my mom, she'll say the same thing. But if you call John, he'll say something different, and his mom will say something different too. But it was heated. We weren't...
Yeah, you weren't friends, right?
We weren't friends. We weren't on each other's Christmas list.
I love it, man.
We didn't bake each other cookies, you know. But, I mean, he wanted something I wanted. We want the same thing. And it was really... I think we had two different personalities. We're friends now, but back then, Steve Young and Joe Montana.
Yeah.
It was the same thing.
Yeah.
They both wanted to be the starter, and they're both competitors. And you get two competitors against each other. Not only does, you know, it pushes you a little bit more, and obviously you're motivated, but I think ultimately it helps the team as long as the coaching staff says, okay, this is the guy. It's easy. Okay, Taysom's the guy. Rally around him. Back then it was tough because we would battle back and forth, and he would have one good practice and I would have one good practice, and you know, he had his cronies and I had, you know,
you had
half
your
the
receivers,
you know, and so we want Clements, now we want Walsh, and so, but I, all in all, it you know, it worked out. I, you know, in 92 we had four starters,
yeah,
start at least one game. We had four guys, four quarterbacks start at least one game that year, and but no, it got to be heated.
And that's why you need depth. Yeah. That's why you need depth. Yeah, one last question for Janimal.
What does that do to a team? Because I've always been curious. Ben and I never were in a situation where there was a quarterback
battle. There was a little bit of a controversy with Max and Cade Cooper, but everybody knew Max, yeah.
Everybody knew Max was going to be the guy. But what does that do to a locker room? Because it's interesting, because I think BYU got hurt A few years back, there was a couple quarterbacks, and I think even while one was named the starter, the others were lobbying, and it was it didn't really help the team. What's that like?
It divides it, no doubt about it. Where in, I think, 20 years ago, there just wasn't. Okay, well, I'm not gonna play here. There's another kid. I'm just gonna transfer. Nowadays, it's.
So what happens?
Crap, I'm not gonna play here.
I'm out.
Jake Heaps comes here. Taysom Hill's. I'm out. I'll go somewhere else. But it can. It just all depends on how the coaching staff handles it and how Coach Mendenhall would handle a situation like that. You know, for me, I think it's big to name one early unless you just flat out have no clue. I mean, this guy is just as good as the next guy. And you have no clue. I think morale, support, leadership, just structurally, it helps the team chemistry-wise. You know, we're talking about chemistry in the spring. To have a guy come out of the spring, okay, that's our guy. We're going to rally around him. If he gets hurt, something happens, okay, the next guy's in. But then to go into fall camp with two guys, that's tough. Ohio State?
I mean, three.
Yeah, three guys.
Three.
I just don't.
And that backup might have been better than the starter. You never know, man. He'd look good.
That third guy might be better than the other one. That's rough.
Guys, we got to take a break. Steve, thank you so much for stopping by. We need to do this again. Summer months are coming up, so we need to have some throwback days where we get some insight from an offensive mind. Have fun tonight with your son.
Appreciate it.
Safe travels up to the Jazz game. Steve Clements, the Parade All-American, our first Parade All-American. I think that's been on our show.